selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. You know, okay, it's actually just so funny because what I love about Shopify is no matter how huge and massive you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control. Yes, daddy. And take your business to the next level because we're business women. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bookclub. That's shopify.com/bookclub, all lowercase. Shopify.com/bookclub.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Celebrity Book Club.
Oh my god, Jane, I'm so nervous. I have to dive.
Your quads are splendid, Tom. We've been working on them doing tryrogenics now for years. Your papa would be so proud.
But everyone's looking at me. They're with their flash bulbs. They're hankering for me to fail.
Oh, forget the Daily Mail. Let them focus on the Queen. You're the Queen today. By the way, I loved your coming out YouTube. You are so brave.
Oh, Jane. So funny of you to make a joke about me being a poofter right before I'm about to do one of the most difficult dives ever attempted.
Tom, I actually have something to tell you. I'm a member of the LGBT community as well.
Jane, I had no idea. I thought you were just old and British.
No, I've been with my partner Susan, and she lives mostly in Leeds, so you probably haven't seen us together, and I like to keep my swimming, coaching life very private.
Oh, how difficult for you to live a good 2 hours away on the A4.
Anyway, I'm so proud and happy for your generation. You can live out loud and go on the Graham Norton show with Miriam Margolyes and just joke about your sexuality.
You're right. Okay, that's all making me feel quite better about the dive I have to perform now.
Clear eyes, full pools, Tom.
Clear eyes, full pools. Thank you, Jane.
You got this.
At the door, it's all your friends, you filthy whore. Your husband's gone, and we've got books and a bottle of wine to kill.
It's Hollywood,
it's books,
it's gossip.
I'm shook.
It's memoirs,
it's martinis,
it's Studio 54.
It's Bellini. Celebrity Book Club, come read it while it's hot. Celebrity Book Club, tell your secrets, we won't talk.
Celebrity Book Club,
no boys are allowed.
Celebrity Book Club.
Book Club.
Buzz me in, I brought the Cuervo.
Hello.
Can we start at the top? There was too much flash photography.
Let's do a retake.
Okay.
Hey, best friend.
Mate. It's funny, you're British, I'm American. How could we ever fall in love and do a podcast together?
It seems so crazy. And yet there is a precedent. It's only happened once before.
How are you on this unusually warm?
Well, is it unusual okay.
Or is it global? Global fucking warming again. I love how we pivot to a global performing pod sometimes.
Okay, wait, I was just watching a documentary for 20 minutes last night about
TFW, of your boyfriend is away for 2 days it's and you start that. Documentaries.
I'm like so confused. I'm like, okay, HBO Max question mark. And it was like about a girl who thinks that her step grandpa might be a serial killer.
Oh, my girl has been watching this.
Okay. It's one of those things where they're dragging it out and you're like, give me something. Like, what do we think? Why do we think he's a serial killer? 20 minutes in, they're just being like, so then I decided to talk to Aunt Laura and I thought she might be nervous to talk to me. She was. I was a little bit just like, can we get somewhere? Like, wrap this up.
Stick with it.
Right. But do they get to the serial killing?
They think he is one, right? The Golden State Killer or whatever.
Right. I mean, there's like so many. It was a golden age of serial killing serial in Northern killers. California, according to the first 4 minutes that I did watch.
Yes, because there's the Zodiac Killer. There's like the killer that Patton Oswalt's wife, which I think is the Golden State Killer, wrote a book about, and then she died.
Under mysterious circumstances.
Yeah. And we're going to get into conspiracy theories in the VIP lounge, but question, do you think Patton Oswalt killed his wife?
Huh. I mean, I've
never
really
asked you
really
this.
Not. This is actually so intense of you to ask me this question.
Just at because the top
I've
of
been,
the pod.
I've been carrying this secret around and I haven't been wanting to share my opinions on it because it's torn my family apart. Okay, I'll say this. I don't like Patton Oswalt.
No, I mean,
I've never liked his comedy. It's really boring.
No, I mean, we are the opposite of like his fan base. We're not going to the Beacon Theater to see Patton's new hour.
I do think that there's probably a lot of overlap between like fans of our pod and Patton Oswalt fans, though.
And I think there's more of an overlap, honestly, in our fans and Patton Oswalt's
wife's conspiracy theorists.
Yeah.
Who think that he killed her.
Yeah.
Because she died of like a brain tumor or something.
Yeah.
Much like the father of the person we're going to talk about today.
Yes.
I guess, okay, to come down on the side
seems like you're afraid.
I guess I'm still terrified of tearing my family apart and revealing my true opinions about Patton Oswalt. I don't know. He just doesn't scream like that calculating to me. But maybe
isn't it always like the super nice guy?
Like he seems like such a buffoon.
Because back to this doc that we both have watched 20 minutes of, that guy really does seem like a serial killer rapist. He was so glasses, like back
here. Yeah, and he was like a teacher, and he was always like organizing like hot tub events.
Girls trips.
And like girls trips of like the whole like field hockey team or whatever.
It would be pretty sinister if our grandchildren found out that Patton Oswalt did kill his now deceased wife.
They also wouldn't care because they would be like, who's Patton Oswalt? Like if you found out like Bugsy Maybar, like
okay, but
someone.
I was so retro and I was obsessed with Laurel and Hardy.
Okay, so that would actually knock you to your core.
Knock me dead. They're picking up a book about like old Hollywood, but it's about Patton Oswalt. And just like Amy Poehler.
The killer amongst us.
Amy's the just killer like... who laughed last.
And Amy was just like, yeah, sure, it was weird. But everyone was weird. We were weirdos.
We were weirdos. We wore hoodies. Okay. Okay.
You know who else wore a hoodie?
I don't know. He wore work cardigans.
Well, no, the boyfriend. And then the night they meet, he's wearing a hoodie.
He is wearing a hoodie. We'll get into a leather jacket. You probably know who we're talking about.
They probably put two and two together because you guys are fucking geniuses. And that's why I fucking love you, Club Kids. Of course, today we read a scintillating memoir.
One of the most interesting books we've ever read.
Oh my God, I could not put it down.
Page turner, couldn't fall asleep. You know him maybe as being a gay Olympian British swimmer.
The most decorated British diver of all time. Olympic gold medalist, Olympic bronze medalist.
Gay father married to the screenwriter of Milk.
Just so you really know he's gay, like gay. Of course, we're talking about none other than
Tom Daly. And his book... Coming up for air.
Which I originally saw in Barnes & Noble in the water sports section. And I had to giggle at the way it was prominently displayed. Because the cover is black and white. And we know celeb memoirs love to have a black and white.
I love black and white.
Because it suggests...
seriousness, depth, honesty, vulnerability.
A stripping down. This is me bearing it all.
I would say some people deserve... a black and white cover. Like Barbra Streisand?
Yeah. Although what's interesting about her is it's black background, which is rare. Usually it's just like the white studio background. And she makes the sort of bridge of her nose, her profile so prominent, celebrating her Jewishness, if you will. Whereas this is celebrating
gay guys?
His twinkness. Yeah. But he's what's funny about coming up for air, it does look like he's just given a blowjob. It looks like he's just, got off his knees. Oop, hello. Hi.
Hello.
That's...
at the water in the water sports section.
And I don't know if water sports means the same thing in the lesbian community.
Water sports is when you piss on each other. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I think maybe your side of the G in the LGBTQI+ community is claiming water sports, but I actually think water sports is kind of a pan term.
So...
Like you can be...
I know.
Straight into water sports.
Well, I actually think that straight people now...
are more water sports.
Well, because I feel like there's this trend recently where I'm constantly hear about, like, girls accidentally on purpose revealing that their boyfriends pee on them in the shower. Like, it's this new humble brag that straight girls are doing.
To you personally or, like, on the web?
On the web.
On the World Wide Web.
It's like I'm seeing a lot of TikToks like this, a lot of like memes of girls just being like, the ideal man pees on you in the shower, like drives a pickup.
Damn, I need to get onto the water sports side of TikTok. I mean, I definitely could see Kristen like in her next, let's be honest, be like, yeah, I'll say it. Let's be honest. Montana pees on me.
100%. Cavalieri is absolutely admitting to getting pissed on in the shower by her boyfriend in a TikTok tomorrow.
And I would say water sports also has probably a double meaning for Tom Daly because...
probably.
Because not only is he a diver...
but he's also a faggot.
He's also a huge faggot. Huge bottom. Huge twink. Father... mother,
in some ways,
cousin,
a tiny twink.
Tiny twink.
The part where she lists all his ideas. He's like, I am a brother, a son, a cousin.
Swimmer. Anyway, I'm sure like Lance is pissing on him after Robbie Ray goes to bed.
Yeah, whether Robbie Ray Black Daly goes to bed. Dustin Lance Black, his boyfriend who is 20 years his senior.
So here's the thing about this book. When you presented this to me, and I'm so glad you found it in the water sports section. I thought because maybe it's a gay athlete, like the book was going to be like just a little bit sassier than how boring it is.
And even remotely interesting.
Yeah. But it's going to go ahead.
One of my notes on here, all capitals, this book is so bad. I wrote that after the section where he said, labels are for clothes. Oh. When he was like so nervous about like making a YouTube about coming out.
He comes out on a YouTube because he wanted to, like, own his narrative. And then he went on the Jonathan Ross show to discuss.
Right. Who's, like, not
YouTube.
Graham Norton, but I guess is, like, some British guy.
I feel like he's more serious than Graham Norton.
He's a little bit more Charlie Rose.
I was thinking a little more like Jimmy Fallon, Seth Meyers of England.
Deadly serious Jimmy Fallon.
Seth Meyers, who I think of as kind of serious.
No, I mean, Seth Meyers wants to be serious. Because he's always just being like, you know what? Let's talk about Trump.
British people, chime in. Is Jonathan Ross the Seth Meyers of
England? Because we can't do this research on our own. This is, he's like hemming and hawing about coming out. Labels are for clothes. They take on an all or nothing meaning. It's so easy to put yourself in a box. As soon as I stepped away from the diving board and took a break, I realized I was more than just a diver. I was a gay man, a friend, a son. A brother, and a person who loved media work, cheesecake, exercise, and traveling the world. I love media
work and cheesecake. I mean, he's kind of us in that way.
Basic AF.
Basic AF. And he gets two of his TV shows that he's hosted are like dream shows. One...
Splash.
Yes.
Which ran for two series.
Two series. It just is so British. So he co-hosted this series called Splash, which is the dancing with the stars, but of diving, where like he teaches D-list celebrities how to dive. And it's always like Ellie McGriller from the Girls Twirl girl group is now diving.
And the celebrities were quite nervous, he says in the book, to strip down to their skivvies. Because usually they're so primped and pulled and they had to be so like exposed.
Which makes me think, you know, well, he spent the whole life in a Speedo, you know? And so he didn't think of it as showing off his bum and his bulge and his abs.
Yeah.
But then he finally realized people are looking at me.
Right.
Yeah. And he was like, this is like wearing a suit and tie to work. And he realized, no.
Not everyone feels as comfortable in their body. They don't view it as objectively. And then that one coach tells him he's gaining weight, and then he starts to get a lot more self-conscious about it.
There's
and
like two whole chapters about...
Passes up mashed potatoes at Christmas because he's trying to lose a stone, then he does lose a stone. So,
and then there's a scene where, like, of course, it's the Russian coach where he has a chicken wrap in his hand, and a Russian coach walks by him and goes, are you really going to eat that?
And it's so, like... Nadia Comaneci's coach.
And he's like holding this wrap being like, yes,
I am going to eat it.
My wrap.
That whole part was so insane though, because he was like, back then, no one knew about nutrition. It's like, this was 2013. Like, it wasn't 1951. He was like, we didn't know about, all we knew was calories. That was it. But we don't know that some calories are better than others.
He also was being really gay and saying that, like, the London Olympics, like, swimming coaches didn't have the funds to hire nutritionists.
I mean, I do kind of believe, though, that national sports teams are pulling the purse strings really tightly. But I'm just like, again, go to google.com and look up just, like, the Mediterranean diet.
Well, I feel like what they weren't doing, and now I am vouching for him, they were just being, like, lose weight, and they weren't, like, properly doing a diet for him because he actually did need tons of calories.
Well, and he was just like, and then I learned about like body fat percentage, and it's like, can't you go step on a scale at just like literally like Crunch and they can tell you your body fat percentage?
At Crunch? I don't think so.
At my gym in Marseille, at Basic Fit,
yeah,
it would guess my body fat percentage.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's Europe for you, I guess. They're...
But he was in Europe, although he's in England, which is like
a little different.
Right, it's like cheap over there.
Anyway, that scene really made me crave like an airport chicken Caesar.
Like, oh, is there anything better than a fucking wrap in the middle of a swim meet?
Yeah, where I'm like, ooh, this cold, cold wrap, the crunch of the lettuce. Okay, but let's go a little back in time for a second and let's go to Plymouth, England. Travel with us.
To Plymouth. Where is from? Beautiful
just,
Plymouth.
Just a middle class family. Okay, now I'm getting Irish. A middle class family. Curries on Wednesdays.
I know.
Baked bean lunches on Sunday.
I was like, am I just going to spend this whole episode calling him middle class pensioners again? Like we said, Winehouse, this family were. But they do feel very middle class in their Plymouth upbringing.
They felt more middle class pensioners than like Winehouse, I guess, because it was like farther out in suburban. Like it really felt more bad teeth and baked beans.
It's definitely bad teeth and baked beans. And you know the house is cluttered to the boots.
And with like little figurines.
Yeah. So many figurines and Union Jacks and like Diana plates and like small tables.
What is the most basic Taylor Swift of him is he is literally obsessed with the British flag and the Union Jack. He wanted his wedding themed literally Union Jack.
It's just like you're British. And then Dustin Lance Black gets him a Union Jack duffel as their wedding morning present.
And it's filled with Diet Coke and vodka.
That's kind of a cute touch.
I thought that was really cute.
I was like, that's actually a really good gift.
I'm going to do that.
Wait, but then I actually thought that his gift to Lance.
The frog necklaces?
The necklaces, because they call each other frog and monkey. And he got him like a frog and monkey necklace with like the date of the wedding inscribed on it. That was really cute.
I remember me and my best friend before you.
May she rest in hell. Couldn't hack it, could you, Mare? Wasn't in it for the long haul.
Couldn't handle the heat.
No, literally stay out of the fucking kitchen, bitch.
We got friendship necklaces at the Science Museum that were yin and yang. And we, like, got in a fight once, and I remember, like, she dramatically, like, took off her necklace.
Okay, I mean, iconic move.
Yeah, literally be like, here's the yin, bitch. Anyway, back to Leeds. Everyone knew how to swim because it was seaside, coastal. Right.
But he was being like, I want to get into diving. But he's just like, and I was just kind of good at diving like from the beginning.
But it's funny, his brother was actually better. And his brother got into other sports because his brother was straight.
Yeah.
And he stayed the diving route because he's gay.
Here's what was the biggest curveball in this book. He's the oldest child. Because you know my theory that it's the youngest one that like tends to be the gay one.
And we're proven.
But maybe it's the exception to the rule, but I was just a little bit like, huh, I guess that's surprising. But I guess he's so gay, he was always going to be gay no matter what.
Yeah, devil's advocate to your theory. It's also really girl to be like, I'm visiting my older brother and his husband. She'd be like, I'm actually flying to Toronto to visit my brother and his husband and their French bulldog.
Very Katy Perry, for sure.
So it's gay to be an older sibling and a younger sibling.
Okay, science strikes once again.
Celebrity Book Club.
Hey, New Yorkers, we're coming to your town where we already live, and we're doing a live show on June 5th at the Bowery Ballroom. It is going to be so much fun. Get your summer started right with some martinis and your best friends. We'll be joined by Sarah Sherman of SNL. Don't like be on your deathbed and be like, fuck, I should have done that. Just the tickets are on sale now. They're in our bio. Buy them. They're only $30, which is free.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling scented coffins or outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. You know, okay, it's actually just so funny because what I love about Shopify is no matter how huge and massive you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control. Yes, daddy. And take your business to the next level, because we're business women. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. I'm talking Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklyn, and all your favorite DTC brands. Do you want to be a Brooklyn in business, or do you want to be the sad girl selling candles on the subway? Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bookclub. That's shopify.com/bookclub, all lowercase. If you do it uppercase, it won't work. Just like your sales if you don't use Shopify. Shopify.com/bookclub.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Celebrity Book Club.
But so the dad is super supportive and is always like bringing a huge Union Jack to his swim meets and like wearing it and cheering it, cheering for him, and then just be like, well on you, mate. Well, let's go get some beans and pubs at the pub.
And then there's some days when little Tom is like, Daddy, I'm done diving. And he's like, fine, we can just go to McDonald's right now and get McFlurries. I'd like a McFlurry. And then he'd sit in his plumber's van. And then he'd be like, no, I have to make my father proud. And I would go back and swim more. And then we would get McFlurries.
Yeah, McFlurry has to be a reward.
Actually, that feels so sad to just get the failure McFlurry.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's nice that his dad, I do feel like there's this thing where like people who end up being like, you know, good, well-rounded athletes, it's like they're a little bit more like psycho tiger momming themselves in a way.
Yeah, his dad wasn't.
Because his dad was super
Venus and Serena dad.
His dad wasn't Venus and Serena dad. His dad was just super supportive. But I guess if Tom hadn't been gay, he might not have tiger mommed himself.
The dad was probably just like so happy that his little twink ass son was doing any sport.
Yeah.
That he was like, I should thank the queen. This pufta's doing even a thing.
But maybe also the dad on some, you know, daddies love daughters. Like, dads who don't have daughters love their gay sons. There's some science.
Well, yeah, if they're like comfortable with their own masculinity. Like,
yeah.
Your father. You're like an insane daddy's girl. You're always like
girl.
Curling up in his lap.
Yeah. And he's like, son, I support you at all your swim meets. And I feel like Tom is kind of the same way. And he's like little and twinky and getting in daddy's lap.
So, you know, yeah, chips. If you're actually like twinky enough from the get-go, I think it's easier for a British plumber dad to accept you. Rather than being like masked.
If he
and
doesn't
then,
have
and
daughters.
If there are daughters. Okay. Sad spoiler. The dad gets a brain tumor.
Yes. And does pass away at the early age of 40. But even throughout his sickness, he's like super supportive. And it's traumatizing for Tom. But then the memory of his dad also like encourages him to keep swimming. And he imagines his dad there with the Union Jack in the audience. And it's sweet.
And he was like at a match like the next day, which is insane. Like after his father's funeral.
And then he puts the father's ashes like under the diving board, like at the,
yeah,
Plymouth,
the Plymouth
Swim
Plymouth
Center.
Yeah, the Plymouth pool or something.
Which is a little, I was like, well, what about the rest of the family? Like, don't they get to put the ashes somewhere?
I think there's a lot of ashes.
Right. There's enough to go around.
To go around. So like, I'm sure the mom has like a locket that's like a little fox and she has her own necklace.
Right. She's got her fox ashes. His are under the diving board for generations to come.
His brother has other ashes.
So then he is diving, blah, blah, blah. He goes to the Olympics when he's like 18. And it's at the 2012 London Olympics that the world meets Tom Daley. And he like gets the bronze medal. Like as part of the team. I guess the team wins bronze.
And is this the flash photography drama?
Yes.
Okay.
This is how the book opens.
Yeah. The book opens with he takes a dive and it's a bad dive. And there's nothing worse than doing a bad dive. And he asks literally to retake the dive. And his coaches are like, blame it on the flash photography.
Well, but I mean, he blames it on the flash photography in this book because he has to, because it's like such a key moment in his career. So he's in the air right now. As I spun and tried to spot the pool, I was blinded by a sudden and disarming white flash of cameras. The flashes sliced across my vision. I blinked, and there is no time to blink in that 1.6 seconds. I was confused, and my brain felt dislocated from my body. I landed slightly short, not really knowing what had happened. As I entered the water, I was not vertical. It felt a bit messy, and I knew that it wasn't great. So then he's just like, well, can I get a redive? And I think he thinks it's because it's a home court advantage, that it's like there's too many, like, local Brits cheering him on.
And also, I mean, as is proven, I think the British media is wild.
The paparazzi are hungry.
They're hungry for Kate, for the Queen,
for Diana, for
diving.
Yes. And they're being so like 40s in flashbulbs.
And it's being so like smoke. And it's being like
So the thing where he gets the redive, that's 2012. He has his old coach, Andy. They give him the redive. He does well enough to get bronze, but he still loses the Chinese. This whole book is also all about him being like, fucking Chinese.
And
I'm always like, losing to the Chinese.
And he's like, no. Here's the thing about the Chinese. They're amazing at diving.
Yeah, it's really tense. He's like,
they have amazing pools.
They're really good at diving. They're really skilled.
Sure, they have great nutritionists telling them what protein to eat.
They can afford a nutritionist to tell them about fish.
I feel like if I just got bronze, if I was in the Olympics, I would be like, hell yes. But if you get still a bronze after you've asked to redo, he did go through a deep depression because it's kind of like, you got the second chance.
Well, I mean, he would have gotten like sixth otherwise. I mean, he would have been totally over.
But then there's the dream of you do,
podium.
But you do the redo and you get gold, silver.
No, of course. I mean, you want to get silver. It's weird that he never gets silver. I just think it's very tough out there. And the Chinese team is, you know, they really drill him hard over there. So he's getting ready for the next Olympics. And he has a new coach now. And he decides to not do the dive that he had to redo, which is the twister dive. And he's like, maybe I need to do a new dive. This is actually one of my favorite parts in the book because it's so like rom-com. He goes, we found a resolution in 2014 after the World Cup in Shanghai. I'd flew back to Houston to train with Jane because she's randomly in Houston. She came over to the poolside one day after training. I've been thinking. Take a look at this, she said. She took out her phone and showed me a blurry YouTube clip. It was part of an old Cirque du Soleil show and three performers were on a Russian swing. And then it's just like somebody doing like a flip off a trapeze in Cirque du Soleil. And she's like, this is what you need to do.
And he is like, no one was doing this in diving. And it completely changed everything. I'm like, I'm so obsessed with that, with this. Just like, I picture like Jane ass. As kind of like Allison Janney vibes, but British. And yes. She's like coming over, polo, tucked in, whistle, stopwatch,
yeah.
Big Samsung. And she's like, let me show you something.
And also like big tits too.
Huge knockers. Yeah. The sweater puppies are pupping. Yeah,
they're pupping in the polo.
Socks pulled up. Sneakers tied tight. And she's like, look at this.
I'm sure take a look at this. And he's just like, wow, this is so crazy. I could be like such an acrobatic faggot jumping off of this trapeze. But then, so I was watching a clip of the so-called firework dive that he invented, like inspired by this blurry YouTube clip. And it is kind of interesting.
That's why it's Tom Daly.
Because he does like three somersaults and then does a twist. And it does really look like it has two sections to it, which is quite impressive.
To do that in the air?
Yeah.
Diving, it does. There's something like in every sports movie, it also feels very safe. The Last Dance to be holding and be like, hold up, you're gonna do swimming, but mixed with Cirque du Soleil, like you're gonna be doing swimming, but hip hop.
Okay,
like
I know you guys are dancers, but we're also gonna be reading Shakespeare so you can understand meter and verse. It's all connected.
You're gonna dance while you drop. The judges are seeing and they're like so conservative and old and they're like all whispering, being like, this isn't like anything we've ever seen before.
I've never seen someone go into a twist half pike after three somersaults.
And they're like looking through their thing and like the oldest one is like, is this allowed in like the Olympic rules?
But then like one grandma starts like getting into the music.
And they're like, ooh, fuck. I'm going to twist.
I'm going to do a half pike after three somersaults. It's also very Brittany Murphy making ramen that has corn and tomato
and
with it in
peppers.
Ramen Girl. And they're just like, you're crazy. But this is actually the most delicious ramen I've ever
ramen
tasted.
Ramen with peppers and tomatoes. And if you haven't seen Ramen Girl, make it your goddamn beeswax.
It's truly one of my favorite movies
of all
time.
To stream, rent, own, deliver.
Wait, can I ask you a personal question?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you a personal question at this moment as well, but go first.
Can you dive?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. So here's the thing. Even though I'm like a total water bug,
yeah,
I don't really know how to dive. I got to the point of swimming lessons where you are on your knees and do the kind of fake dive.
Right, where you just fall in.
Pointing, though. And at my Girl Scout summer camp, like, I always thought I knew how to swim. And then I had this, like, very serious, crazy German lesbian swimming teacher.
Obsessed.
Who was just being like, you are doing the breaststroke completely wrong. And I was, like, so scared to, like, go every day. So, yeah, and I have, like, my sister was so in diving and people were being so bored. And I remember swimming at the Havid Blodgett pool, where they literally had the full ass,
like the 10-meter dive board.
Yeah, yeah, massive dive board, and see people going off that. And I was always just like, ooh, no, that's not for me.
But even the smaller diving board was terrifying.
It's not that it was terrifying. I feel like I just never had the skills of the
But it
the
is
grace.
It is.
I mean, yes, it's scary,
but it
also.
It is a courage thing.
Yeah.
You do have to not be afraid to get your legs up over your head. Like, I think it is absolutely mental.
Can you dive, if I may ask?
Do you remember when we were in Vermont, like, last summer?
Yeah, and you dove?
I was, like, trying to dive. I basically can't really dive either. And I started to learn when I was in my late 20s, like, at pools.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like I can kind of do it, but
I was going to say, I feel like I've seen you, like, definitely diving position in a pool.
Yeah.
But I don't know if
but
it's like,
still
if
looking
you're diving.
A little bit spastic. Like, I'm trying to get the legs over, but I'm nervous. And then I'm having flashbacks to when I was like having an asthma attack in a lake as an 8-year-old. And then like my legs aren't getting straight. It's a little nerve-wracking.
Can you do archery? Just to
Now, that's something I did do at camp.
Okay.
And I feel like I was fine at it. Like, I'm not an archer.
I am the archer.
But I didn't have any, like, fear about that.
Okay.
Did you have, like, a fear of the bow, like, snapping?
I think so. I just couldn't do it. And then I would get frustrated because I was, like, saw it and it looked so cool.
Yeah.
And then when it finally came to my turn, the arrow just went flop right in front. And I think I kind of, yeah.
Oh, that's so hard.
Yeah, gave up.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
Let's get you to like an
adult LGBTQ
an adults in archery. I'm sure they have a queer day at the...
Definitely. In Beacon.
At the archery course. Well, this was actually, I just started going to a climbing gym.
Right, which is also kind of mental.
It is mental. And there was one move on one of the like lines I was doing this weekend at this super affirming space.
Yeah.
That was like run by lesbians who were super chill. And like there was this one move where you literally just had to leap from one hole to another. Like there was no other way to get there than just leaping and like actually taking a leap of faith, as we say in the business.
The Christian sports community.
And I was like, I'm not leaving today until I get this.
Wow.
And I
you're
had
being
to,
so clear, hearts
I was being
full pools.
So clear, hearts full pools. I had to do it like 15 times, but then like I did get it.
Wow.
And my boyfriend was watching me and I just heard him gasp. And then like someone else was watching me and like they clapped. And it
wait,
was
this
very,
was
like,
so Olympics and when Lance came with Robbie to like watch Tom.
Right. But then like that old British bitch made him leave because his pram was in the like balcony or something.
Yeah. No, here's some of the sports is actually they're kind of all mental. If you lose it, you can't get back.
Well, you do have to do it.
You need the skill.
You do need the skill and the like strength and like do need to train for 8 years. But then when it comes down to it, then it's mental.
It's kind of crazy because we were good friends in prep school with a swimmer.
It is kind of crazy. Yeah. And I remember like...
I just remember the practices being like, I was so shocked as someone who was not on the Olympic track. I was like, wait, you're practicing in the morning and at night?
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait, but you get to eat a double cheeseburger before dinner?
You know, he was always eating so much McDonald's because he was burning 3,600 calories
you
a day
in the pool.
You
literally need the fuel.
And you just need to pack it on.
And I was like, wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
I too, as a teen, was also eating two dinners because I was growing. Anyway, so bronze, then he like, I feel like he does have kind of a little, wait, like, what am I doing with my life? Like,
well, then he comes out, he meets Dustin Lance Black when he's 18. So let's just get into it. So for those of you who don't know, Dustin Lance Black wrote the movie Milk about Havre Milk. He's pretty much only done like gay rights content.
In this book, Tom keeps on referencing shows that Lance is working on. And I'm just like, come again?
Well, he wrote that show When We Rise that I auditioned for.
Oh, no.
Because I auditioned to like play Cleve Jones or something like in the past.
Oh, yes. That when we met Cleve. Shout
right.
out.
And I did not get the part.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm like, I thought I didn't see you in When We Rise.
But it's like, that's also about the gay virus movement. It's like literally also about Harvey Milk. He wrote that movie like Rustin.
Yeah, he
that
mentions
Coleman
Rustin.
Domingo is okay. nominated for, which is like also about like gay rights. It's a little bit like... You're gay.
And he's always like, oh, Lance is such a workaholic. Like, he's always typing. Like, he can't even relax for a moment, put his laptop down, writing like gay rights movies. Okay, let's talk about their.
Maybe he should put his laptop down.
Just literally their first meeting. Tom Daly is going out with the Nickelodeon team and getting wasted with them, which I'm obsessed with.
And why? Because he was the winner of the 2013 Kids' Choice Award for Favorite UK Sports Star.
The dream.
What? It's like, Nickelodeon is doing a Favorite British Sports Star award every
I
year?
I just couldn't believe that, like, why would there be an award
a Favorite
for
UK Sports Star category? I also was shocked by this.
I was so taken aback by him being like, ugh, the Nickelodeon team was getting too wasted and we were late for dinner and it was really stressing me out.
Oh my God, what a fucking loser.
No, and he was just like, and I was like, hey, Nickelodeon team. He was like, they wouldn't put down their drinks.
And it's like, so they're getting Negronis at Sunset Bar with the Nickelodeon team and just like all of these like gays named yeah. Ray and like Chad
like, I'm in
and
comms
Michael.
At Nickelodeon.
And they're all named like Tyler David Michael. And they're all just like, it's fine, babe. Like, we can wait on dinner. Like, we have a standing reservation, like, at, like, Sushi Sujita.
Another round of, like, vodka sodas.
And Tom is getting so nervous because, like, Tom is literally 18.
And then they go to the dinner and there's this hot, hot guy wearing a leather jacket, hoodie, t-shirt.
Not just any hoodie. So they're at the table after the Nickelodeon team is taking forever. And he's like, I remember trying to cajole them away from their drinks and feeling really flustered arriving at the table where everyone was already sitting and waiting for us. My eyes were immediately drawn to a man with huge broad shoulders sitting in a corner seat at one end of the table. He was wearing a thin red hoodie and a worn leather jacket. Masses of sandy blonde hair partially obscured his eyes as my own lingered on him for perhaps a few seconds too long. I saw a smile appear. Immediately I thought, who is that?
Yeah, that's right. Not just any hoodie. A thin red hoodie. So you know it was American Apparel. And like,
yeah.
Or,
it's 2013.
It had to be. Or I was picturing, like, you know, like a heathered red, bare thin, threaded hoodie. Oh. Rather than a bright red
just like
American
more Walmart,
Apparel.
Like so heathered, so
yeah,
thin.
Yeah, so thin.
Yeah, barely there. Like so, a maternity hoodie.
Yeah. So the next morning, I thought this actually was also really cute. So Lance, like, gets his number. And since, like, he can't drink because he's 18, but also he can't even, like, drink publicly underage, Lance brings In-N-Out and Diet Cokes to his hotel room. And they get stuff in the minibar and make, like, whiskey vodkas. With,
it's
like,
cute, but it's also just a full-up grooming session. He's 18. He literally legally can't drink. Dustin Lance Black is 38 years old.
And he's like, I brought soda and burgers.
I brought soda and burgers.
Hey, want to spike him?
Hey, little guy. Hey, oh, it's super fun.
Have you had vodka before?
It tastes just like water. You'll like it.
And he's like, wow, I can't even taste the vodka.
He's like,
slurp, slurp.
Huh, I guess that means we should put some more in, huh?
And
he's like, we should probably do this at your hotel room just so nobody sees us. Not like it's a big deal or we're doing anything wrong, but, you know, people can get crazy ideas.
And I feel like Lance was like, can I just like read the draft of our first meeting? And he's just like editing it a little bit. And he's trying to make it sound so not grooming because he's like, we actually connected a lot because his brother died of a brain tumor.
Yeah.
And
we talked about our respective losses. He'd won an Academy Award in 2009 for Best Original Screenplay. He said that winning an Oscar was amazing. After hours of talking, I asked him if he'd ever been taught to dive. Okay, he's so us on this podcast.
Hey, do you dive
I
over whiskey
and said,
sodas?
Clasp your hands above your head. That's how we enter the water when we dive. As he did, I leaned in and kissed him. So Tom makes the first move.
But I think he's being like flirty girl diver, making
oh,
the first move.
Flirty girl.
And because he's like the 12-year-old, and then Lance is like, okay, green light.
Yes, he got the green light. He was like, cool, we can...
And he also in this book is being like, oh my God, I totally couldn't tell he was 20 years older than me. And I will say Lance does look boyish.
Boyish. I mean, he's blonde. He's boyish.
He has a
smooth
big
skin.
Heap of blonde hair.
And he's like, doesn't have a beard or anything.
And the way he talks about their dates are just so like.
They go to the OXO Tower in London. They go to some like cheesy touristy restaurant, it sounds like.
Yeah. And they're just being like, oh, one day, like, we should celebrate something further down the line here.
Like, when I can drink legally.
And then he's like, one time we took a bike ride and we just talked about everything you're not supposed to talk about when you've been dating for so little time. You're like, okay, so I'm being so Christian. He's like, and I said, yeah, I do want kids. And then biggest reveal that I screamed aloud in this book is he says he's been collecting children's clothes since he was 17 every time he traveled somewhere and stashing them away in a drawer.
Tom says this.
Tom says
yeah,
this.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, that's so girl.
I'm like, that is so psycho.
I don't know. That's cute. He just wants kids. I feel like a lot of girls we know probably do this.
I guess if I came over to your house and you had a drawer of children's clothes.
Yeah. Well, in addition to all my
to the stuffed animals, well,
then you might start to raise
my
some
note
reflex.
Here. What did I write? challenge gay guys not have a stuffed animal.
We need them.
Because he has his stuffy, his monkey. I guess I'm just like, choose one.
Either the baby clothes or the stuffy.
Baby clothes or the stuffed animals.
Wait, I love this part. We're so lesbian when like he's feeling stressed out and like Lance can totally tell that something's wrong. One day we were at Westfield in Stratford. Oh, that mall. And coming down the escalator, Lance went to put his arm around me and I immediately tensed up. Why do you do that? He asked. I knew what he meant. You can be open with me, he said. Let my love in. Don't push it away.
Mm.
You're on a mall escalator.
Let my love in.
Let my love in. It's they, like, do they actually talk like that?
That's what I'm saying. Like the bike ride where we discussed life's hardest things. It's a little just like, are you like, what?
Are you who? Both Glenn and Doyle?
Just like, yeah, it's like every date is just being like, what do you want? Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
They're constantly revising their 5-year plan.
And then
together.
Just being like, what's your 2-year plan? So when they do have kids, they get a lot of clapback from the homophobes.
Well, okay, but first I'll say, when he comes out, he gets no clapback.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm so nervous. And then I did a YouTube video coming out, and surprisingly, I got like almost unanimous support from all corners of the globe, and like everyone wanted to do an interview with me, and I became like even more famous. And it's like, yeah, bitch.
Yeah, you're like in 2016, like no one gives a who.
And it's like, you're A, already
gay.
Famous and like a cute twink that like gays like. B, you're like dating a gay celebrity. And then you're like, oops, sorry, I'm gay and dating a gay celebrity. Does anyone care?
And
is that
I wear
bad?
Speedos. Are you mad at me?
Yeah.
China, are yeah. you mad? Do I make you horny, baby?
Like, yeah,
oh, okay. I wanted
thrilled.
To say this about coming out narratives, and people love to describe coming out as this. People are always like, I came out to my friend Rachel and I was so nervous, and she just said, love you, man. That's okay. And then we just went back to eating ice cream.
Yeah, it's always and then we ate more pizza.
Yeah, and then we just went
so
back
normal.
To like talking about whatever and like Vanderpump Rules. And I'm like, I actually think that's homophobic. Like if you
yes.
come out
and you say like, oh, cool, I don't care.
And you're yeah, and she's like, oh my God, like love you. Anyway, what do you want to order? It's like
That shows actually you're uncomfortable. If someone comes out to you, you need to immediately say, I fucking support you.
Who are you into?
Who are you into?
Are you
a top
or you
a bottom?
Are you a switch?
I'm going to teach you how to douche right now.
Yeah. Let's not order pizza. We're going to the club.
Yeah.
That is support, not
yes.
just continuing to like place categories with your mom. I feel like that's very like how Colton from The Bachelor like phrased all of his coming outs. TBT to him.
Oh, he said that everyone like treated it really normally.
Really normal. And he's like, we just started talking about whatever stuff we also liked, like fishing.
Okay,
I want to talk about their proposal for a second because I thought it was so you.
For sure.
So
how there's all this construction in Dolores Park.
Yeah.
And like Dustin Lance Black was like, this is my favorite park. And then he goes and he was like, it kind of was weird with all the construction. And
that's
then
the part.
And then Dustin Lance Black goes, oh, all this fencing is so ugly. And so he like puts ring back in
yeah,
pocket.
Yeah, he's like, uh-oh, my like boyfriend is angry about fencing. And I was like, that is so you to be like, oh, yeah, I love this place. But the lighting is disgusting and now I hate it here.
I mean, don't propose to me in a park with like so much fencing and construction.
Take notes. They're the gay male equivalent of like two big femmes in matching wedding dresses, kind of, because they like both propose to each other back at like
in their bedroom. I do feel like this is kind of yet another gay bedroom proposal that we keep hearing about.
The gay bedroom proposal epidemic. And he's like, go away and come back.
Yeah.
But he spies a little box in Lance's pocket.
And he was like, I wanted to do a dinner, but dinner was so crowded, like we didn't have enough privacy.
I mean, it makes sense because it's like dinner proposal is really awkward because then everyone looks, you're like on the hotspot, and then you do have to like kind of just go back to eating.
Yeah.
So unless it's the dessert.
Well, I hope you do it over dessert. And I mean, doing it like in the middle of lamb is weird. Mid-lamb proposal.
And it's like tucked into like a baked stuffed artichoke.
It's on the lollipop. It's on the bone. Well, anyway, they propose to each other and
it's gay, and they
walk down the aisle to Ellie Goulding, which is so gay and British, after he gets the Union Jack duffel.
And he decides that they will have actually their wedding clothes be burgundy and navy. And then he's like, I was good friends with like the Burberry designer because like his father died of a brain tumor. It's very like
loves
brain
connecting over family loss.
He wears burgundy
with a navy tie. Lance wears navy with a burgundy tie.
And his maid of honor is his best friend, Sophie, who he did a travel show with.
Right. Which is also so like gay guy not do a
travel show.
A travel show.
And then they're literally the gay men's chorus of London.
Does a flash mob.
To Bruno Mars.
Marry me.
Yeah.
I'm just like, this fucking... I mean, honestly, but the wedding was really fun. And they took over an entire castle and everyone got to stay at the castle.
Yeah, it sounds insanely fun.
Because this is what I do feel like about weddings, where I'm like, if you actually like can't pay for everyone to stay at a castle...
Don't have it.
Don't even literally have a wedding at all. Just literally do a Zoom wedding. It's just like, I love that they were literally just like, everyone can come to Dorset and you can all stay here. Okay, I actually wanted to discuss this thing where he talks about the wedding cake. And he was like, because this is American tradition where you shove the cake in your face.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like this is a bizarre American tradition, and it is like a symbol of our gluttonous like culture. That's so just
silly we are.
Well, yes, we're silly comedic culture, but we're also such like a wasteful culture. It's like we're just wasting cake, like smearing it all over each other.
I mean, that's random. A dark way to think about it. And as I guess like a rom-com purist, like it is like American and like McDonald's. And I guess like that's the fun of it. It's like we're not British being like, here's your little crumpet.
Okay. I do feel like it's become this thing now, though.
But no one even does that anymore. And everyone is actually in the 50s when we were less gluttonous, people would do the face smash. And I feel like people are so afraid to do the smash because they've paid thousands for the mua.
Well, I think what they're doing, though, is I feel like there's this incredible dance now that brides are doing where they're doing like just enough that it like still looks
yes,
good with the makeup.
Yeah, it's like
and there's
a
this
little
insane
frosting
performance now where they're like, oh my God, I got like a little bit of really photogenic
so
frosting
silly
on my frosting proof foundation that I can like easily get retouched right after I take like 3 photos.
No one's doing the full, like, 1961, I'm about to marry
full,
my abusive
like,
husband.
Like, soupy sales pie in the face. Bring that back.
This is what I'm saying, like, Laurel and Hardy core.
Okay, yeah. I love that.
But, yeah, I guess before segments, just one moment, David Hockney paints him nude.
Oh, yeah. And he's like, David Hockney hadn't painted anyone nude in years.
And he said, I want to paint you nude. So I got
down.
But
then he's holding his crotch like so embarrassedly. Did you look up the painting?
No.
He's like,
I'm thinking of buying it though.
He's like holding his crotch being like, oh no. Like,
and he's like, Lance walked in and saw like my skiffies hanging up on the easel. It's like, we've already like seen your dick basically. Cause it's like, you wear
I mean, it's
the little.
Small and he's small. So I guess he's like nervous, but I'm kind of just like, you know, Greek statues had small dicks, like embrace it.
I was thinking that cause I was looking at his bulge and it like really like goes like up in this small way. And I was like, that
he's
does look small.
He's a bottom.
Like it looks
he's
big.
A diver.
The kind of the whole bulge package. In the
I
speedo.
Mean, he could be a grower. I'm sure it grows to a totally respectable length. And, like, maybe one day they'll have a twink third.
Definitely. I think once, like, their second son gets to 3, they will get a third. Anyway, they did do the, of course, they, like, paid so much money to get a surrogate. And they did the thing where they, like, combine their sperms. So they don't know who.
Yeah, that was interesting. So they fertilize 2 eggs. Both eggs go in the surrogate. And they have no idea which egg it is.
No, I think that's cool.
I guess it's cool. But I'm like, aren't you just always like wondering?
Kind of going to want to know. And then, you're like, oh my God, I don't care as long as it's ours.
Right. And then you're looking at the kid just being like, well,
are you
who does
blonde
he look more
or
like?
Are you like short and British looking?
Yeah.
I guess I like it because it's like probably like cute for them because they're just like, we don't know, and it's just love. It's just
I guess
love
it's a
is
fun
love.
Mystery, but I just come back to the medical issue of it. It's like when that child is talking to his doctor at age 25, and the doctor's like, do you have a history
of brain tumors?
Of brain tumors in your family? Like, is
and
this something
like,
you need
to
look
yes,
for?
Emotionally.
Yeah.
Celebrity Book Club.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes
I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up for segments. How does she live?
How does she eat?
What does she wear?
What does she wear? Burgundy.
Union Jack.
Custom. Well, oh, wait, the part where you said Stella McCartney had to make the tiniest Speedo in the history of mankind. Well, this is how you know he's a small dick.
Yeah, and he's like, and we did a collab with Stella. So he's doing tiny, tiny Stella collab. And then when he's being more gala,
he's still just like so Ryan Seacrest from Macy's in the way where it's like the best is too tight. He's everything that like menswear guy tells you not to wear, where it's like the pants are
but
too tight.
But then it's also he'll try to be tight. Funky where he's doing like little vest and he is doing makeup.
And there's a pattern on the vest. And yes, he's doing under concealer and like bronzer.
And he's doing kind of like pattern Doc Martens, I want to say.
That's way too insane. You need to reel it all the way in. He's all wearing just like pointy little dress shoes.
Okay, I watched a video where he was wearing Docs and a crazy pattern vest. Not to cheat, but yeah.
Docs? The docks. Pattern docs?
No, but I'm going a step further because he had these two crazy gay British stylists. He was like, here's James and Tyler, and like they make me look fabulous.
Okay, so he wore like docs like for some event once, but I don't think in his actual day-to-day he's throwing on docs.
That's no, I think he's in Allo's day-to-day, honestly. I think it's Allo's.
What is that, like Allbirds?
No, those are those like sneakers that all like finance people wear now with the circles as the soles. It's like the new Lululemon.
Oh, not QC or whatever.
No. It's A-L-O.
Oh, I actually do know what you're talking about. And it is the new QC. Yes.
It's the new QC, new Lululemon, and it's like...
Or like O-N. It's all not QC,
rich
but you know
couples are
about.
Just like walking around
in
like
their aloes.
Fucking looking like basic sheep, not putting full pieces of cake on their faces when they get married.
Whereas we are doing full pie in the face with docs.
At a castle with docs. Being gluttons.
So, yeah, he has bad style. Dustin Lance Black is in a thin hoodie.
And
also wearing, like, blazer over hoodie and being so, like, startup style. And is just always, like, the laptop just being like, I'm thinking about writing about a gay rights pioneer. It's like, you did that.
He, like, just now has been like, what if I wrote a 6-part series about Stonewall?
Oh, my God. I bet Dustin Lance Black must be furious he didn't write Fellow Travelers.
Yeah. I bet Dustin Black also is, like, getting a pod, like, is coming in here at 6:30.
I'm sure we're going to pass him in the elevator. Yeah.
What does he eat? Like, chicken wraps, and protein, salmon. They're in LA. So
well, now that
just
he like
Aaron
knows what nutrition is, he can finally have the Mediterranean diet.
And he doesn't like totally have to like keep to weight.
Well, he might do LA 2024.
That's true. Said he was sponsored by Adidas.
He's literally
Adidas.
Only 29. He's still so young.
He's definitely like still diving.
Yeah, and like training.
And is always like doing so many flips.
But okay. Now it's a little bit like for an exhibition show. I don't know if he's still like fully competing.
Well, just because the last line of this book, not to give out spoilers, is like, oh yeah, when I told Robbie I had won another Olympic medal, he said, Papa, when you come to see me. And really, that just put everything into a perspective. Love wins.
I mean, this book is a podcast called Being Brave. The last two words of the book are literally love wins.
Actually putting love wins in your book, crazy boots.
So I think, yeah, now he knows about like, you know, kidney beans and
oh, he also quinoa. Does say he loves to cook. Like he's blending so much quinoa for his kids.
Yeah. And he's also being very Jennifer Garner, Once Upon a Farm. And he's buying Once Upon a Farm.
Yeah. And I think he is like baking sometimes. And flour's getting everywhere.
You're
the
just
kids.
Being racist against British people and thinking they all bake because of Great British Bake Off.
I was actually being racist against Jennifer Garner because she's always baking.
She is always baking. And you think he's being so garn.
How does he live?
Union Jack pillows
Union
everywhere.
Union Jack pillows everywhere. I feel like they do have a French bulldog. If they don't, they will get one with
Wait,
Union
so
Jack.
Do they live? Do they have like a house in London and West Hollywood?
I think they're just LA now.
Okay. But so I think that like there's elements of London that are present. Mm. Like I think there is like one room that is like kind of meant to be kind of a wood paneled study that has a dark leather couch with like so many Union Jack pillows. Mm-hmm. But then a lot of the house is just like gay LA.
And gay LA is Union Jack pillow too. So.
Okay. Yes. But in a Jonathan Adler way yeah. Where it's like gold table Union Jack pillow, like white framed print, like
and
black
I think
and
there's
white print.
Lots of probably like little prints of like Lance's work.
Oh,
maybe
like
in the
script?
Study. Maybe
I think
the
those
script.
Are in a script. I don't think he's
don't
putting
just like Harvey Milk like this.
I don't think there's a Milk poster in the living room.
Office,
yes.
And then the Hockney nude is in the bedroom.
Hockney nude
or
is
he so embarrassed. Or is that LACMA?
It's at LACMA.
Field trip. If you live in LA, get a selfie of yourself
you,
in front of the
of
Tom
the,
Daly.
Of the Daly portrait yeah. at LACMA. That's a fun first date or maybe propose in front of it.
Yeah. Unless there's
Wait,
two
I
construction.
Dare you listening to propose in front of construction at a park if you're listening.
Who are you in the book? I mean, stuffed animals, fencing.
We're not like such losers who don't drink and get mad at the Nickelodeon crew for like
no.
not getting the reservation on time. It's like, it's one thing to be like, oh, we have a table at like whatever,
like our
saga, and it's like five people and you have to be there eight.
We need to leave the
it's
grill.
It's another thing when you know that there's like a 30 person reservation at like a massive like club strong.
And you're with like
with like an ice Buddha.
People, like,
and you're with like so many executives. It's like, who cares?
Loser. But you are Lance when he complains about the fence. At the park.
Oh, for sure.
But you're also Tom with the stuffed animals and children's clothes, I guess.
I don't collect children's clothes.
Supposedly. Jury's out on that. And I am.
Who are you in the book?
Am I just like Sophie, his friend?
Yeah, and you are doing a
travel
show.
With me.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, can we get back to eating pizza, please?
And you're like, Sophie, I'm on a diet.
Oh my God.
Give this book, I don't know, 0.5 diving boards out of 5. Like the 0.5 is for the wedding and for like Diet Coke and vodkas in the hotel room.
I give this a,
and for
a,
swimming, I
a
guess.
1.0 because
love wins.
I do appreciate that he actually talked about like diving. Like one thing I didn't like about Nancy Kerrigan's book, which I said was I didn't think he described skating enough. And he does describe to some extent like what it's like to jump off and do twists in the air and stuff, like the actual process of diving. I didn't think it was very poetic.
Well, that was the thing. It was like, I'm glad he talked about the diving, what it's like to be a diver, but it wasn't such an Agassi
no.
thing, like, you know, where you're reading this
it
book.
It wasn't
being
interesting
like,
writing,
oh
being like,
God.
Oh, wow, I'm there in the room. Like, his use of metaphor is so powerful.
You're like, okay. Even though, and I got to give it to him because diving is
hard. As we know, we literally can't do it.
I've cliff jumped.
So you can jump.
I can jump, but that's high. It was high.
That gets and into that was fear first. And courage.
And people die from that.
Oh, absolutely. Every year.
Okay.
All right, Club Kids. We'll see you in the pool.
Don't be late for the meet.
Best. This was produced by Darby Masters.
Supervising producer was Abu Zafar, such an amazing coach.
It was executive produced by Christina Everett. And a sound engineer was Bahid Fater today.
Yeah.
What an incredible job doing the engineering he did. I want to thank Stephen Phillips Horse for doing the
theme song.
The theme
which
song.
So helped me with the 2014 Beijing Olympics.
Yes, it got you quite excited. Thank you to Leon Nafaken and the whole team over at Prologue for helping us
train in Leeds and giving us your pool.
At our original pool that we used to swim at. And thank you to you guys out there for listening. Oh, thank you to Teddy Blanks,
who painted
design.
Me nude.
Yes, he
once.
Did.
Yes. Wonderful. I was quite nervous.
Yes, but a beautiful, beautiful painting that he did. Please go to our Patreon if you'd like to listen to us gab a little bit more. There's more gabbing to be had.
Absolutely.
Have a good day.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.